Podcasting 2.0 for August 9th, 2024, episode 188, Nothing Doodle. Hello, everybody. It's Friday once again. It is the one day of the week we all look forward to. It's amazing. We actually look forward to doing a board meeting. Why? Because this is Podcasting 2.0, where we discuss all things podcasting, the true nature of podcasting from days gone by, from days today and days to come. What am I talking about? We are the only boardroom that walks our own talk all the time. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man whose tailwind is very different from that of a 737 captain's tailwind. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
That was a lot to get out.
I know, you. and I bumbled all over it. I got diarrhea of the mouth, man. I'm too excited.
You need to shorten up your intro. It sounds like me reading an audiobook.
Well, I was trying to be cute and say the man whose tailwind is very different from that of a 737 captain's tailwind, but I got I fumbled.
I
fumbled the ball. What can I say? I fumbled.
Coxman.
Yes, if you're wondering what is that about, that's the guy who sits at the end of the rowing skiff with a megaphone strapped to his face. He is the coxman.
Also Adam's nickname in high school.
Oh, so low. Low blow. You know, I was a huge loser in high school. I was a dork. I had the wrong hair. Of course, I had a little bit of those Tourette's twitches. It was, people, they would literally piss in the teacher's coffee pot and blame me. I mean, that's how low I was.
Good grief.
Until someone figured out, wait a minute, you're John Holden on Decibel Radio? You're that guy? And overnight, I went to, he's cool. He's cool. You know, I had like the jocks around me, like, hey, he's cool, man. He's with us.
So your studio, like, what do you call that? Like a, not a pen name, but
DJ name, my alias.
Your DJ name was John Holden.
Yes.
That's a great name.
Well, thank you. Well, of course it was pirate radio. So, let me see if I have one of my old jingles. Oh goodness. I probably have, this is an old cassette recording.
So, sport you for Captain.
Let me see.
A man barely alive. Waves.
Yeah. Nice.
The $6 million DJ.
Listen to me.
Captain John, your pilot of the airwaves.
Nice.
1982. What am I doing here? This is some kind of jingle package I was doing. I don't know. Let me listen to it.
What did you say?
The what DJ?
Huh?
The what DJ did you call yourself?
The pilot of the airwaves. The $6 million DJ. Let me see.
What? DB.
What is this? This is crazy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got sung jingle.
John Holden.
That's what happened. Underwater. Holden. The pirate boat sank.
So because it was really pirate radio, you couldn't use your real name. And this was kind of it was basically John Holmes only, who of course was a fan favorite.
Of course he was. Yes. Yes. It's not John Holmes. It's John Holden.
It's John Holden. Exactly. Oh yeah.
The $6 million DJ is the best name ever.
Do you hear me going like, I'm really trying to get my voice down low?
I like the underwater, whatever that was.
So we would bring girls into the studio and put a lot of reverb on them and get them to sing.
John Holden.
That's like church,
pretty much.
Wow.
I just pulled that one out of the archives. I'm putting it right back in the archives. It is where it belongs.
Oh, well, I mean, we've got it now. It's living. Now it's going to live forever.
Oh, no, but I have hours of that stuff.
Oh, man.
Hours and hours.
Every minute of it. Every minute. I love you doing your own. So you're 19?
Oh, 18? No. Let me see. 82. Yeah. Wait, 80. I'm from 64. So I was, 84 18. Would have been 20, 18. Yeah, I was 18. Yeah. Just barely 18.
Just you with the pocket recorder, you know, like just John Holden, the $6 million DJ. It just cracks me up.
You want to hear an air check? I think I got an air check. Let me see.
Oh, please.
Let me see if I have an air check.
Anything of this you can whip out is good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, careful what you ask for.
Then. Yeah. Put it back in.
Let's see what this is. Here we go.
They're still stepping high and dressing hip. But I'm not quite sure if they got it all together.
Hi, Freddy.
PhD! We're mother number two. I love you. All the same, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
I won't let you down. Fantastic. 17 more decibels to go. Move it and groove it and have fun with it. PhD, and I won't let you down. Hi, Jackie. How you doing, man?
Hey, Jackie.
How you doing, man?
That is amazing.
I've come a long way, baby. I've come a long way.
Do you swell with pride seeing how amazing, how awesome you were at that young age?
It's so creepy. I mean, there was other stuff. Someone tweeted me the other day. You know, it was 30 years ago. In fact, they sent me the episode for August 8th, I think. Let me see. So a show from 30 years ago called Rave Radio.
Okay.
I don't know if I have that exact episode. But it was basically... It was basically house music. Yeah. Let's see if I can find a break somewhere.
30 years ago, so you were 29?
Yeah, I was doing Rave Radio from the New Jersey warehouse. And this was, you know, this was literally house, Chicago warehouse, trance. Oh, I can't find a break there. DJ Tiesto was pretty famous. He grew up listening to me on the radio.
And really?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been around, baby. I'm old.
So the New Jersey warehouse, what is this?
Well, I was living in New Jersey at the time. Hello.
Okay.
And you know, and so I would do this weekly show called Rave Radio. Radical.
But you were at, awesome. You were at MTV at the time?
Yes, I was, but I was doing it for Dutch Radio.
I always forget that you did a dual, that you were MTV and you were still on the radio at the same time.
That was on Z100 and yeah. I was doing all kinds of stuff. And Adam Curry's top 30 hit list.
I just want the underwater stinger. That's what I want.
I'll get
but
you
for,
the
but for podcasting.
Anyway, I'm in a freedom kind of mood today, Mr. Jones. I'm just feeling so good about what we've created here, what we've built, our community. And you know, screw the advertising, screw the money, just the fact that we have built something that is available for everybody. Everybody can use, you know, there's no deplatforming. It was kind of interesting. James jumped in to defend us of someone who had, I think guys, was it, BitcoinAudible.com or something, and they have a podcast, and they're like, we're not showing up in the search results. Those guys are shadow banning us.
Shadow banning? Please, no.
Yeah,
oh, God,
yeah.
No.
And James looked into it. It's like, well, you know, you have like 15 duplicates and you have 8,000 redirects. You know, it's possible that you have a lot of stuff going on and the index is a little confused about who you are and what someone's looking for.
But possible and probable.
And probable, yeah. But it really just accentuated for me. I'm like, wait, this is so awesome. You know, it's just awesome. I'm looking at what's happening in social media, which to me is, it's, you know, we're in social media wars right now. And I don't mean people warring with each other, but here's an example. So Facebook got kicked out of Turkey. I have to say Turkey because it's no longer Turkey. You know, it's like
that's
you can't
a new name.
It's, you know, I want to have a chicken Kiev and I have turkey A for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So
with stuffing.
Yes. With stuffing, exactly. And I know that X has not been kicked out of Turkey A because all kinds of sanctions have been made for them to stay on. And, you know, there's a lot right now of people on Twitter like, hey, man, I'm so happy Elon bought it. And, you know, it's freedom of speech, man. And I'm like, you fools. Remember, it's always fun when it's the other team that's being censored.
Yep.
And I'm trying to remind people of that because they get this whole idea like, oh, so great. By the way, it doesn't matter what you post on social media anywhere anymore. It doesn't matter. It's like turds swirling around in a pot.
Yes, it is. You know, they'll make just as much difference.
That's right. You know, it's freedom of speech, not freedom of reach. So you really don't know who's seeing your stuff. You know, X is now removed in the timeline, at least the repost counts and the like counts. So when you're scrolling by, you don't see that anymore. Only the number of views, which is, of course, highly manipulatable.
Oh, yeah.
You can manipulate that better than you can with likes and with reposts. So, you know, I'm just seeing like we're all running around trying to communicate something, thinking that we're publishing, we're saying something to the world. You're not. You're not. And what's left is really RSS feeds of blogs and podcasts. That's the only thing I see left. Yeah, you've got no virality. But that's not important anymore.
You know? I can't believe somebody thought we shadow banned them. That's just not even. Well, if I ban you, you're banned. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Well, it's you know, I don't blame them because that's the thinking we've gotten to. And whenever someone is not doing well on YouTube, oh, they're shadow banning me. Maybe you just suck. Yeah, it's possible. Maybe just no one cares.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I even went into.
Holy crap, Bitcoin Audible. There's like 800 of these things exactly. In the index. And the album art for them is called Shitcoin Insider. Okay.
Well, Chad F, you know, it doesn't matter. Noster, because Chad said, maybe we should use Noster. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, you're talking to a very limited crowd of people, and that crowd of people will be great. If you just want to talk to a few people, same with Mastodon, that's all you get. That's what it is. We have to get away from this. I'm publishing. There's no more virality. When the journalists left Twitter, you never see a news article somewhere saying, according to this posted on Twitter. No.
Yeah.
No, you don't see that anymore. You know, that bridge has been broken. So it really doesn't matter, which is why I feel once you get past that, and I don't really post stuff anyway. I might respond maybe to someone who has something to say. Even when they say something ugly, I usually just move on. But once you get past it and you just realize that the people who are listening to you on your podcast, that's it. You're not going to be Joe Rogan. And by the way, I went to the YouTube, Joe Rogan YouTube channel. Man, there is a big difference in view numbers depending on guest. I mean, he's only pulling in 300,000-400,000 for many of these guests. And you get a Jordan Peterson, it goes to 3 million. But otherwise, it's really dropped off. It drops off a lot. I think people are losing interest in general in the idea of, well, I don't know what it is. Let me not make any assumptions. But
well, I've got an idea. I think it might be because of that effect that we've seen over and over that people have talked about. That when you go exclusive to Spotify,
you lose
your audience. Yeah, you lose relevance, you lose audience. And then when you come off of exclusivity to Spotify, your audience is never the same. You take a hit when you do that deal and then you never get it back.
I agree, but a lot broke. And what I think really happened is, besides, well, for Joe Rogan, that specifically, maybe. But the there was a decoupling from legacy media and quote unquote new media. They just don't talk about it anymore. You see, so
tell me what you mean. So, I'm not following exactly.
So the same thing, like anything that used to happen on Twitter or wherever would show up somewhere on television. I'm talking really probably more cable news than anything, but and Tucker Carlson may be a great example. You know, he might as well be dead everywhere except TuckerCarlson.com. And I pay for his network. You know, I support him that way. And, you know, okay, then he puts something on X and it says, oh, 800 million views. Okay, whatever. I mean, you have no idea what that even means. Right. But he has an audience and he's talking to that audience and that is meaningful to him and that audience. And maybe someone says, hey, you should see what this guy did and I'll go take a look at it. But gone are the days of something sparking virally and then everyone's talking about it. It's just not like that anymore. Because the mainstream has what even is mainstream? It is. I think we've really gotten into this completely desegregated media landscape where, you know, everyone is on their own little island and there may be crossover, but, you know, the days of one big voice, I think, are gone. It's not Joe Rogan anymore. It's not Tucker Carlson. It's nobody. Nobody is the big voice. Look at Trump. He can't get his message out the way he used to. It's not the same. I mean, it's hard for me to explain, but it's just not the same anymore.
Did you see? Yeah, I agree. And did you see CNN is like they're it's bad there.
Oh, their numbers?
They had. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They Paramount's going to cut 15% of the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, CNN writes down $6 billion.
Sure.
See. I saw it. I'm trying to find the story because I saw it this morning. It says it was specifically about CNN, though. It's pretty brutal. I think
that was an older story. Let me check my
notes. No, this is new. This is new, though. This is new. Because I thought it was old originally, too, but it's actually because they just announced their numbers. The CNN announced their financials either yesterday or the day before. I can't find it at the moment, but what it was bad. I mean, there's layoffs and a lot of stuff is happening there. But it's pretty nasty. But I think it's all like we've been trying to watch the Olympics.
They lost me on that opening ceremony, man. I was so soured just by everything. I'm like, screw these guys. I'm not interested anymore, but okay. You're watching.
Yeah, I got through it. And, we didn't watch the opening thing, so we're just trying to watch. Oh man, the advertising is just
yes, it's off the hook.
Once you're once you're out of that mindset for a while, and you try to go back into it, it's just unwatchable.
Mm.
It's unwatchable. The only saving grace is that we're watching it on YouTube TV, and so we can skip through that stuff. But it is just. It's pharmaceutical ad after pharmaceutical ad after that is the only thing that's on there.
Yeah.
And there's 100 of them the whole time. It's just
nonstop.
It's nonstop.
Yeah.
And, well, and of course it's going to, I mean, it's going to have this effect. I mean, people are just going to, once they see that there's an alternative, you know, podcast,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're, why would you go back?
Well, also, I'm seeing a large, uptick. A large uptick. When we go live, that's what turns people on. The idea of, and when I say live lit, which No Agenda has been doing for 15 years, you know, at any given time when we start off the show, we're between 2,000 and 3,000 people listening live on a Thursday or a Sunday. I mean, I find that pretty awesome.
That's significant.
And I really try to interact. Let me see what the listener count is right now. And I try to really interact with them. So now, right now we have 93 people listening live. They're probably all 2.0 people. But the interaction, the direct feedback, it adds some kind of dynamic that I can't really put my finger on, that even people who listen to the podcast enjoy. So when they're listening to it after the fact, there's something big there that we're not quite able to describe or put into numbers or define. But it's something about it that really, the people like it. The people.
Take it to the people.
Take it to the people, boy. Take it to the people.
Well, I took a foray this week.
A foray?
A foray, which is why my audio was messed up this morning.
Uh-huh. What were you doing?
Not this morning, but a while ago.
Were you cheating on me? Were you on another show?
No, I was flying solo.
What did you do?
I narrated 2 audiobooks and posted them as RSS feeds.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Full on audiobooks?
Well, I mean, they're short stories.
Tell me, what are they called?
Well, if you go to the index and search for Clark.
Yes.
Your middle name.
Yes, thank you. Clark.
If you search for Clark Ashton Smith, Ashton.
Mm-hmm. Got Smith. Murder in the Fourth Dimension.
Yes, and those top two are me.
Devotee.
Murder in the Fourth Dimension and the Devotee.
Well, you obviously know what I'm going to do right now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh.
It's the
Pod Sage.
The following pages are from a notebook that was discovered lying at the foot of an oak tree.
This is better than John Holden.
Beside the Lincoln
No,
highway
it's not. No, Bowman nothing's better Auburn. Than John Holden.
They would have been dismissed immediately.
Oh, I like it. Oh, I'm listening to this. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm listening to this. Beautiful.
So I did it for a couple of reasons. I've been wanting to do this for a while. Mm-hmm. I think you knew I wanted to do some audiobook
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
But.
What beer are you drinking, by the way? Is that a Pabst Blue Ribbon or?
No, it's a Michelob Ultra.
Okay.
I thought about for a while, and there needs to be more content out there that's actually tagged as medium audiobook.
Yes, I agree. You
know, so there's lots of audiobooks out there, but hardly any of them are tagged appropriately with the medium tag.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taken it upon myself to do this work. So I'm going to start narrating. I enjoy it. I like it.
I can't wait to listen. I'm totally digging that idea, brother. It's awesome.
And there's a dual strategy here.
Uh-huh.
Because it also gives
one is
me the
one
ability.
Is exit strategy to get rich, obviously.
Yes, and it's working out great so far. All my sats come from myself making sure it works on Casting a Minute. So that's great.
At 5 sats a minute. Yeah, I know how
yes,
that goes.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm very familiar with this.
Not exactly torching the helipad screen at the moment. But the secondary thing is that I want to get a better feel for how the podcast hosting company UIs work.
Ah, that's a good idea. So
I'm going to spread these around. The first two I did on RSS Blue because I knew that Dovidas's interface right up front, like as part of the creation process, it asks you, what kind of content is this? Is it a podcast? Is it music? Is it an audiobook?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to RSS Blue first because it's going to ask me at the beginning, is it an audiobook? And I'm going to say yes.
Ah.
So I put 2 on there. Now I'm going to probably go to RSS.com because I think Alberto has audiobook medium support on there, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to spread the love around.
I don't know
how I'm going to pay for it all because I'm going to have monthly subscriptions to 10 different podcast hosts. I'm not sure how this will work
out. Doesn't everybody have a free tier you can take advantage of?
I hope not. I want to pay for my stuff. So I want to support these guys too.
Yeah.
So so far it was a fun experience. It was RSS Blue's interface was really easy. And I noticed in there, and I think at least also RSS.com and Podhome, and Blueberry, I think those also support live.
Uh-huh.
And so what I would like to do is do a live audio, like live reading of some short stories. Just to get the feel, again, this is just to get the feel for what it is. So I can record it as I'm doing it live, go back and clean it up later, and then publish it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I like it. I like it.
Just like 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes of reading. And It's fun.
Now, are these books that you get off of, what's the site I'm thinking of?
You're thinking of Gutenberg.
Gutenberg Press. Yeah. Gutenberg.
No, I've got most of these books in physical copy,
but they're in the public domain.
They are. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we discussed that. I tried that once. One of my favorite books as a kid was, Tom Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Appleton, I think, which was basically a combo name. It was a whole bunch of writers, but they all were under the something something Appleton. And some of them are from 1899 and stuff. And it's all about Tom Swift and his dad. And Tom Swift is an inventor. So every book was Tom Swift and his flying machine, Tom Swift and his submersible, Tom Swift and et cetera, et cetera. And I started... This is years and years ago. I started, but it was written very much in the old language of the day. And that was pretty racist.
Yeah.
And yeah. I got stuck. I'm like, do I need to change all these words? What should I do about this? And I gave up. I might want to revisit that. But
yeah, it's always great to read the word Negroid.
Exactly.
As a description, exactly. Which is, what do I need to do here?
Yeah. Like go back and read Huckleberry Finn. You're like, okay. But I like it because you're clearly doing it to communicate something written that you want to communicate and you're not doing it for any other reason. You have secondary reasons to try it out, but you want to share something, which kind of brings me back to my freedom vibe today.
The interesting part about reading these books is that it's very much like you said, the way they're written is very, it's difficult. It's difficult. It doesn't flow.
Like reading the Bible?
Exactly. It feels like you're reading the Bible. It's hard to put when you're reading an audiobook, you're trying to act, you're trying to be an actor, and then it's hard to express yourself when the structure of the words is so foreign to anything you would ever say or hear anybody say in regular. I don't think this is obviously not the way they talked even then, but in 1930, 1933, but like it's so clumsy, it's so clumsy to sort of to try to make it sort of flow. This area again, the soul congealing hideousness, the sense of eternal falling of myriad harpy like incumbent horrors. Like what?
Well, what I really like is the timing of this, where we're being inundated with AI voices. And I can tell you that will never compare. I will listen to a Dave Jones read above an AI voice any day of the week. Because there's certain personality and traits that I don't believe can be replicated with computers. Something decent, sure, whatever. But to have a true interpretation, I mean, that comes from the soul, brother. It comes from a different place. It's not something that you can replace.
I did use AI art for the first time. I think it turned out okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't think it looks horrible. I think it looks if you look at the cover art, I don't think it looks like it doesn't to me stand out necessarily as AI art. I mean, I think you could probably tell that it is, but it looks sort of old timey to me.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah. But that looks okay. There's a knife on the ground. It looks like it's Mars.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dude.
A dude. It's a dude.
No, we have, you and I, neither of us have any art chops. No, that's, Would it be better if someone made something for you? Yeah, Melissa, she'd probably make something better for you.
No, she didn't have time for me. She's got her own stuff.
So there it is. The entire use case for AI. Nah, my wife doesn't have time for me. So there you go. Mm-hmm. I'll use some AI. Yeah. Yeah. The wheels are coming off that thing. The wheels are coming off. I'm telling you now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think some. Now, I used Midjourney, and I think some of those guys like that have. Let me qualify this. They have a business strategy, a financial plan that works for them. Now that functioning profit is all based on the big guys losing money. So because they're tapping into somebody, a hyperscaler's system, in order for this compute time.
Yeah.
And that is losing money.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Once those guys say, hey, we really got to charge you for this, it's all over.
It's over. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But also if you look at noagendaartgenerator.com, this used to be all handmade art. And now a lot of it is AI. It doesn't stand out anymore. It's like, oh, okay, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is, yeah, well done. But you don't have a good idea to start with, so it doesn't matter if it's well done or not. It's just, it doesn't hit it. You know? It just doesn't hit it.
And now, I did play the music myself. That is me. That's not generated.
Nice.
It's not nice. It's like, dun, dun. it's not exactly an accomplishment.
I'll take it. Anyway, whatever you do, don't try Libsyn with one of these experiments of yours, because that may not stay up very long.
No, I figured that's already a goner.
Let me tell you, it's bad news when the CEO supposedly leaves. You know, maybe we don't know, and no one says anything. Nah, that can't be.
Is it because
good.
They all work from home and nobody could tell if he left or not?
No one knew if he was gone or not. Yeah. I don't know. I mean. That company's been such a mess financially and administratively and cap table wise. It's just, I don't know.
Dave Jackson bailed.
He did. Happy for him. Got a nice note from Brendan. He's like,
oh, did you?
Yeah. He heard us talking about it. He says, hey, man, you know, he was very excited about what can I do for live stuff? You know, how can we make pages like the live pages for the bands at Bitcoin? I sent him some examples.
Live on PodPage would be really cool.
Right? And by the way, I'm so happy to see that or to read that episodes.fm will soon include all podcasts.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm very excited because that thing kicks ass. I mean, I'm always shooting out the No Agenda Live and the episodes on because we do have an iTunes ID on episodes.fm. And it's great because people can just say, oh, hold on a second. This is the app I use. Click. And if you want, you can make it always select that. And it's like it's a huge problem solved.
Yeah, the only thing holding it back was just the dependency on iTunes IDs.
So is he going GUIDs now? Is that what he's going to do? Is that how he's going to work it? I don't know.
I don't think he said yet.
Mm. Well, I'm excited about that. I think that is one of the biggest advances we've made in podcasting in a long, long time.
Yeah, because it obviates the need for the...
Chiclets. I mean,
it's
a barrage of chiclets. Yeah.
Barrage of chiclets. And also this... begging Apple to support a default podcast player and all that, because they don't care, they're not listening.
They don't. It's great. I mean, it's really, really cool. That it truly is. It's a great. That was what Apple really brought to the party. You know, we forget about it because some of us weren't alive back then. I was flying with this kid. We went up to Dallas. He's 28. That was last week.
Yeah.
And so Ed is 28, and of course he's heard of me. He's like, so tell me about MTV, man. And I said, when were you born? 1997. I said, they weren't even playing music videos on MTV when you were born.
It was all Jersey Shore by then.
No, yeah. Of course. Well, he knows Vivo. Yeah. Okay. Great. Vivo. But back in the day, you know, what Apple really brought to the party was a one click subscribe. You know, that was the advancement, because they had the distribution. They had the mass.
And it's still one click subscribe to their app.
Sure. You know? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Only to them.
Yeah. So,
you know, pod LP, the
flip phone app.
Mm-hmm. Light in footprint, not in capabilities.
What? What does it have?
As I was saying, it's like pod LP. I guess that means, I've always thought that meant lightweight player or something like that.
No, I don't. Well, it's Kai OS. I know that they run on Kai OS, which is a good OS. Which is a good OS.
Maybe pod. Maybe LP means low power.
Low power could be. Yeah. But all that stuff works. We've done. Hey, just again, we've done amazing things. This community is so fantastic.
But pod LP, Thomas over there. He sent me a note and said he switched his back end to using the Index.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, but he did it in a really responsible, good way, which is the way that I always recommend. If people ask about it, which is you could use us for search, and then also kind of track the Index through the SQL dumps and through the tracking endpoints. So you're still running a server yourself, so you're not wholly dependent on us, so that if we go, you know, if we have out, you know, downtime, it doesn't take out your whole customer base.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of a hybrid approach where you're still running your own thing for your own customers, because that's your responsibility.
Your own database. Yeah. You mean? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Mitch, one reason I brought it up is because Mitch is also, you know, he's re-engineering. Podverse.
Yes, welcome back, Mitch, young master Mitch. He is back.
Mm-hmm. Podverse. Let's just call it Podverse Next Gen.
Next Gen. Yes. And, PNG. Podverse PNG, Next Gen. Yes. Underwater version.
AKA John Holden.
What can I do it here?
Podcast next. Podverse Next Gen.
The Rodecaster duo needs a John Holden button where it makes you sound like you're underwater.
I bet you I can work that one out. I might be able to try that. But yes, anyway, he's doing Podverse Next Gen.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's doing Podverse Next Gen, and he's doing it also in the responsible way that you do if you're running a system, is he's using his own database, but just, you know, syncing things out from us as needed. And so he's rebuilding some, or not rebuilding, but he's building some of the SQL stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we might talk about it for a minute.
Yeah, sure thing. By the way, I also saw that he was getting some grief from Apple about not working on Android Auto. Or no, that would be the Play Store.
No, that's Google.
Because it works for me. I mean, it works on my Android Auto. I don't know what they're talking about.
I think it's got something to do with the entitlement that is needed to do, to do an overlay on top of the screen.
You need the DEI plugin.
Exactly. And that's hard to get. It's a toughie.
See, it is tough. He's not in a group. The draw over, I think that's a selection. Isn't that something you select? Let this app draw over all screens or something.
Yeah. And it's got something to do with that. They're saying that he's not doing that.
Not doing it. Not holding it right.
Yeah. You're holding it wrong.
Yeah.
So he's building out his database, and he was talking about what, you know, so how should I do this with features? So, you have I just thought I would lay out like the way our database is structured, because
can I just interrupt you for a second?
And now it's time for sexy SQL talk with Dave Jones.
Yes. It's a very unsexy.
Okay.
So we've got two main tables. We've got a feeds table and an episodes table. Those have just core RSS tags as columns. So the feeds table has as the columns, you know, of course, it's got the ID, it's got the title, the URL, the GUID. I'm sorry, not the GUID. It's got the author. It's got the iTunes ID. It's got these core things. The last time it was scanned, previous URL, one back that it may have existed in, the time that it was added to the database, just all standard stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the feeds table, the episodes table, same deal. ID, title, enclosure URL, enclosure type, description field, all that stuff. So that's your core. Those are the two biggest tables. Everything extra that's either a podcast, that's a podcasting 2.0 like feature. They all get their own table. Ah. So for, you know, our main feeds table is called news feeds for historical reasons. And there, so the per, and he was talking about like the person tag. He gave this example of a sort of trying to, something he was trying to figure out how to schema. And so for us, like we have the news feeds table, which holds the podcast feeds. And then we have another table called NF_person. And in that table is all the person tag attributes. So you have the name, the URL of the bio, the pit, you know, the image, those kinds of things, the role, the group and the role. So then the way that we had, the way he was given an example, he said, so if I have an episode over here with Adam Curry listed, and he has an avatar URL that points to X, and there's another episode with an Adam Curry and an avatar pointing to Y, how can I should I try to deduplicate those things to where there's one Adam Curry that exists in the database, and I'm just referring to that one from all these places, because I don't, you know, it doesn't seem to be possible. Hmm. And my answer is don't do that.
Well, there's more than one Adam Curry in the world to start with.
Right. And he was saying, well, you know, in order to do something like that, what you would need is like some sort of person GUID.
Yeah. A PUID.
A PUID. have a PUID.
Yes.
And so Adam Curry now has a PUID of 11264584, something like that.
Yes.
And the other Adam Curry, who's from, you know, Ohio.
Oklahoma, actually. Yes.
Oklahoma. His PUID is something different. And so, but that's just all not necessary. So instead, just in your table schema for your person tag, just use a multi column index. So make a unique index that encompasses the name, the URL, the role, that kind of thing. Because what you're gonna end up with is sometimes Adam Curry may be the host.
Yeah.
Other times he may be the guest. Sometimes he may be the producer. So you want to capture all of those differences. So if you uniquely key it on a multiple set, then you'll only get one entry for each of those situations where this Adam Curry is truly different.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to try to mess with a universal, some sort of like globally unique ID, like a PUID. And so that's sort of the framework for all of the way that I think it's good to lay your stuff out that way, because when you can do joins on any of that stuff, when you need to pull in persons, you can join it into the SQL call. When you need to pull in GUIDs, you can pull those in. And it also keeps you from having to have any sort of table locking, because most, I don't know how Postgres is, but most database engines will lock the table for certain changes. like, because it just has to. If you're going to add a column, or if you're going to add a foreign key relationship, some of these, and it's sometimes it's very hard to know which ones are going to lock beforehand and which won't. The documentation will guide you, but you don't know exactly. So sometimes you can get pretty nasty behavior, and it's unexpected when you go to sort of like add a column after the fact, or definitely when you delete a column. So if you keep everything in separate tables, you can do those, and that's not going to affect your database in production as much. Then one thing I mentioned to him was the only performance hit you get is with deletes. So when you delete,
There's got to be a lock.
Yeah, there's always a brief lock because it has to resolve those foreign key constraints. So when you delete, so like in the person tag table example, the person tag is tied to the episode table, and there's another one tied to the feeds table for those different scenarios. So let's say that you have, let's say that you delete an episode that has a corresponding entry in the episode's person table. Well, there's a cascade effect that happens when I delete that episode that you were in. It's going to go delete that Adam Curry also out of the episodes table because they're constrained together. That cascading event, if there's a lot of foreign key constraints or a lot of relationships in database terms, that will cause a performance hit. That's one of the main reasons that we don't do immediate deletes.
Mm.
Because we don't have the database machine horsepower to handle that in real time. We can't just do that. We have to have this lazy delete process.
What is the timing of that? Because one of the main support questions I answer is, hey man, why is this? I deleted that and it's still there. And I do a reset and it's all good.
Now on the feed level, it's not we don't really delete anything for sometimes, 6 months, but like when if it's talking about like a whole feed, because we try to find, we're trying to make sure. There's two scenarios where we don't delete things. One is if it's still a live feed in iTunes. And because, again, we're constrained because we have to stay in sync with these iTunes dependent apps. So if the feed 404s, it will disappear from search, but it won't die in the index. If it's still got an active iTunes ID that Apple is providing information for.
Hmm.
The other thing is we give a long time, like usually, about 3 months before we actually remove a 404 feed, just to make sure we give them plenty of grace period if they had a system error and it's going to come back. So we don't just immediately remove it. It just disappears from search temporarily. Then we give this grace period. That's for feeds. For episodes, that's more complicated. that is a very slow process. Because the feeds table currently is like 160 million records.
Yeah, you got to lock that when you delete something, right?
Yeah, and we're only deleting 100 a day sometimes,
right?
Across, so it can take 6 months.
So when I hit a reset on the dashboard, I'm actually locking the database for a delete to be performed.
You are, but it is so fast.
Oh, okay.
Because it's only one feed. If you were to go in there and let's say and do a reset operation on, let's say, 1500 feeds at once, you would see it.
So here's a higher level question regarding this, because your recommendation for Podverse NG and for PodLP, et cetera, your recommendation in general is to have your own database and sync with us. How can we mitigate the delays with pod ping expectations?
What do you mean?
Well, one of the features I mentioned of podcasting 2.0 and modern apps is, hey, you know, when we publish our feed, when I say we, I mean No Agenda typically, within 90 seconds, it'll update in your app. Well, that's not true or hasn't been true for Podverse because they sync up with our database and they don't get that information until whenever they sync. What is your recommendation for that?
That's interesting. I would say watch. I mean, the first recommendation would be watch Podping yourself. For sure, because it's not hard to do. It's just one. It's a one-liner, you know, in Python. Python script.
You can. I coded it right now while you were talking. It was so easy.
It just gets you Copilot.
Yeah.
I mean, second to that, it would be watch the, you know, watch our tracking endpoints. For let's say you have your own database, and that database for your podcast app has, let's say it has 100,000 feeds in it. You could just watch our, you can watch Podping, which is the ideal solution. Right. Well, actually, that's the good solution, or even better, for to encompass feeds that don't have Podping as well. You can watch our tracking endpoint also.
Ah.
So you're watching two fire hoses there, because we publish. If you go to tracking.podcastindex.org/current.
Ooh, hold on. This is new for me. Tracking.
Let me make sure I'm not lying here.
Tracking.current/current. Okay. Am I going to get some JSON?
Yes, you will get JSON.
It's loading a big JSON. /U05DB/05D9E8. Ooh, sexy.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff.
Okay. So this is basically our output of what we suck in from Podping.
So no, this is our aggregator is our, this is what our aggregator is doing.
Hmm.
So the way this works is every I think it's once a minute, we post a new copy of this file, this slash current file. So this is always the latest thing. So this is a list of the last X number of feeds, and I think it may be episodes as well. Let me check.
Looks like episodes.
Yeah. So this is the latest X number of feeds and episodes that we have found, that have updated
one way or the other.
They have changed.
Yeah.
So you can, cool. What you can do, the way this is meant to work is you can hit this endpoint first, the tracking.podcastindex.org/current, parse the JSON, and look for the previous tracking URL property, which is right up close to the top. If you then grab that previous tracking URL string and put that in your address bar, you're going to get the one from the previous iteration. So you're going to, this is like it's like you're paging backwards in a database.
Yes. Thank you for the pretty print checkbox. That's nice.
Oh yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
If you just go in there and then walk, if you get the slash current first, then get the previous tracking URL and walk backwards until you hit the last one that you checked, then you'll know that you've seen everything that we've seen.
Ah. And what kind of resources? Is this just a flat file we output that people are grabbing, or is this a database call?
This is not a database call. Okay. It's a file in object storage.
Nice. Nice.
And it's also cached at Cloudflare.
Nice. So
it's not really hitting us at all.
Got it.
The other way to do it is with a database call. And this is the way John Spurlock does it, is he does, there's a endpoint called recent/data. And it's essentially this same thing, but you're just using you're doing you know, it's live data instead of like a 1 minute delay. For most people, this is what I would say would work.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some different needs and he's already got a system functioning on it. So it's not that big of a deal, but for most people, the tracking endpoint, if you're always checking this and then walking backwards to make sure you've seen everything, sort of like you plant a marker and then walk back to that marker each time, then you're always going to see you'll know you've got it.
It's beautiful.
And if you see something that updated, go pull a fresh copy.
Was that it for database talk?
I guess.
Cause I was getting a little drowsy. Just a little.
Look.
It's important. Look. You said look.
I've got a complicated relationship with lasagna.
Okay, that is the ISO of the day. Let me see. Can someone please grab that?
The reason I'm bringing this up is because this, you asked, what do you recommend for this type of problem? To me, this is like the microwave power problem. So, like, you know, the problem with, if you look on the back of any, like, heat 'em up food.
Yeah.
It says, you know, sometimes they'll say like, set your microwave power to 50% and then microwave it for this many minutes.
Like,
and
I'm out. We're 30 seconds in a spot, like check, put your finger on it. Okay. Boom. Yeah, exactly. Blast again. We all know how we do it. Yeah,
exactly. And the reason is because nobody understands what the crap is going on with the user interface for powers on microwaves. You hit the power button and then things start blinking and you're like, okay, what does this mean? Am I supposed to hit the power button again?
Right. But
like, and now it says P00. What does that mean? Zero power. And so if I hit start right now, is it not going to turn on? Like, because we're at zero. If I hit, and then you're like, okay, so do I hit the power again? Or am I supposed to type it in? Because this says 50% power, but what I see on the screen says P05. Like what, right. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And if I hit if I get to the power that I need, do I have to hit start right now? Is that going to start out at this? Or do I need to hit, or do I need to type the time in first, then do the power? It's horrible.
And I see, I see Tina sometimes and she's like, no, you got to hit this and code 2 and that, and then number 3. And then it's like, what? Yeah. You know, all that stuff. She's got the interface of the microwave down, man. I'm like, oh, okay. I had no idea.
And then, you know, so when you get to something like lasagna, where it's dense in the middle, like, so I don't normally eat lasagna because it's one of those things that you have to heat, like when you reheat it. Well, number one, it's usually got too many noodles in it.
It's like, kind of the feature of lasagna.
Well, I mean, like, you know what, I'm more like, because you're going to have 5 layers of noodles in a lasagna. I'd rather you have like, cut it down to like 3.
Okay.
And then fill the rest up with stuff, you know, with like sauce and meat and cheese and all that. Mm-hmm. So, but if you go back, it's so dense in the middle with all that lasagna noodle, like sheets, that when you go to heat it up in the microwave, you got to use the power thing because you'll end up with it scorching on the outside, sheets. But cold in the middle.
Cold sheets. I know.
Cold sheets, great for sleeping, not good for lasagna. And so, this is the same type of problem when you say, okay, we have this system over here. We have Podping over here and we're getting immediate updates. And then we have this sort of like limbo zone between us and this other app. And then how do they get our stuff immediate from Podping? This is sort of like trying to figure out power on a microwave. Like, you can come up with all these kind of like guesses as to how you could do it. Or you probably just need to watch Podping yourself.
Okay. How does this relate to database talk?
I don't know.
Let me play a song.
Okay.
Let me play a song. And I selected something that is a throwback to Bands of Bitcoin. I don't know. Have you ever seen Hey Citizen perform live?
No.
The Hey Citizen Experience? It is one of the most psychedelic things you have ever witnessed. He did a live show, I want to say maybe 6 weeks ago or something. Can't remember exactly what it was about, but it was just psychedelic, and he had all this stuff going and multiple cameras and like an early early Top of the Pops, you know, with weird lighting and filters and then, you know, synths. Oh, it's super, super cool. So, Hey Citizen, I guess he was part of the whole Nashville Airbnb experience. Mm. And he wrote a song. He wrote a song, and I wanted to share it with us. So make sure you boost him and let him know you heard it on Podcasting 2.0. This is To Be in Nashville from Hey Citizen.
Early in the morning, the rain keeps pouring on the interstate. This loneliness like a truck in the left lane, forcing me to put on the brakes. I wish I was with my amigos, wearing a Speedo and watching the rainbow across the lake. Laughing and cracking balloon gas, recording a podcast my friend makes. Now I'm driving in the left lane with 20 tons of steel, but it's still pouring rain behind the wheel. Cause I'm too far gone and I'm falling apart. Check engine lights coming on for my broken heart. Got my engine roaring and my radio on, but all I hear is that honky-tonk blues. I ain't got no blue suede shoes. So many miles away from Nashville, where the billboards are funny and the girls call you honey. Let me sip on that Tennessee booze. I'd give the Lord all my whiskey and my pickup truck to be in Nashville. Walking the bars on Division, thinking of sinning with them southern women dancing in the street. It's long gone and I'm missing it. Ned's fishing and makes funky beats. I never thought I'd be fond of boosting a Honda or late night drama, cause you're choosing the cake. I'm so sad cause I wanna eat the lasagna that my friend makes. Now I'm driving in the left lane with 20 tons of steel, but it's still pouring rain behind the wheel. Cause I'm too far gone and I'm falling apart. Check engine lights coming on for my broken heart. Got my engine roaring and my radio on, but all I hear is that honky-tonk blues. I ain't got no blue suede shoes. So many miles away from Nashville, where the billboards are funny and the girls call you honey. Let me sip on that Tennessee booze. I'd give the Lord all my whiskey and my pickup truck to be in Nashville. Was insane. The love we had was real, but it's still pouring rain behind the wheel. Those days are gone, our ways had to part. Check engine lights, come on for my broken heart. Got my engine roaring and my radio on, but all I hear is that honky-tonk blues. I ain't got no blue suede shoes. So many miles away from Nashville, where the billboards are funny and the girls call you honey. Let me sip on that Tennessee blues. I'd give the Lord all my whiskey and my pickup truck to be in Nashville. I pray to God Almighty just lift me up. I give him all my money and my favorite drinking cup. All my guns, all my whiskey and my pickup truck to be in Nashville. I know in my heart there's a God up there. Won't Won't you have some mercy, hear my prayer? 'Cause I don't wanna be anywhere except Nashville.
I give that 5 stars.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5, baby. That is fantastic.
I love the song. Nashville itself, 1 star. 1 out of 5.
I love Nashville. I like My Engine Lights On from My Heart. I'm like, oh, that's a great lyric. That's a great line. That's a great line.
I like it. Yeah. That was a great tune.
Yeah. Nice. You know, I got a call from Suzanne Santo. You know her?
Why does that name sound really familiar?
She's been on Rogan a couple of times, and she is she's married to Nick Pizzolatto. He's the guy that single-handedly wrote, directed True Detective for, I think, HBO. The very successful series about, I want to say the Bayou. I don't know where it is. But it's, you know, with Woody Harrelson. And she calls. She's a musician. She's an artist. By the way, she rocks the Fender like nobody's business. And
haven't you mentioned her on the show before?
I might have.
I think you have.
Yeah. Well, they just had a baby. He's 9 months old, little Rosie.
Okay.
And, but she called me, says, you know, I got a new album. I'm putting it together. She says, I'm so sick of everything. I've heard about the podcasting 2.0 stuff. So I took about an hour and I walked her through, and she kept saying, wow, this is amazing. Wow. Wow, really? Yeah. Wow. I just kept going, wow, wow. And so I gave her a whole bunch of links, and I explained remote items and, you know, how it all worked, and got her set up, on a couple of different apps that she could choose from to check them out. And and if she gets back to me, I said, look, I'm going to hook you up with the Costellos. They are the powerhouses of the Valueverse. And so fingers crossed, but I'm really hoping she digs it. Because she would be great, because she has reach. You know, people know her.
Phantom Power is doing live. They announced live V4V music streams every Monday night.
I saw that. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, they're like partnering with the Vinyl Lounge.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got to get on. That got to be promoted. You know, that was the only thing that bugged me is... There was a lot of Toonster, you know, zap us, you know, like, okay, you know,
well,
I understand that's an important audience, but that is the Bitcoin audience. I want to get people out who are not in the Bitcoin world.
Right. I think it hits me that what's being recreated here is music radio.
Totally.
Is because what you have is you have people, musicians onboarding into V4V who publish their music. It gets picked up by the DJs on the music shows.
Yep.
You know, your show, Phantom Power, It's a Mood, Lightning Thrashes, these
homegrown hits, baby.
Homegrown hits. It gets picked up by these music shows. And then that's where it gets heard, you know, it gets disseminated.
Yeah.
It's like 1978 radio.
No, it's even earlier. No, it's like it's going back to American Bandstand.
Oh, that's great. It's just so cool.
Yeah, it's going to get there. It takes time. These things take time. They take time. Mm-hmm. They take time. John Holden says they take time.
Yes. Listen to John Holden, kids.
any word from Oscar yet on the wallets? Anything? I haven't heard a thing.
I've not heard from Oscar, no.
I looked into that Fetty Mint that launched, the new Fetty Mint. Yeah, pass.
Yeah, that is not... Cashew is doable. Yeah. Fetty Mint, no. The distributed, sort of federated, you have to have multiple people approve it. I don't see how that could work at all.
I just went in, I downloaded the app and messed around. I'm like, no. I see all the problems right away.
Can you tell me what a roll-up is? A layer 2 roll-up?
No, I have no idea.
This phrase all the time, and I have no idea what that means.
A layer 2 roll-up.
Yes. Hmm. Like, there's been a bunch of stories lately about this thing called a layer 2 roll-up, and I'm like... this is so new to me, and I you're not explaining what this term
is. Rollups can move computationally intensive processes to a side chain to ease congestion on the main chain while stabilizing network fees and transaction speeds.
Trev Scott says it's the outside wrapper of a fruit roll-up.
Here, what is a roll-up? Hold on a second. Roll-ups are several smart contracts on the Ethereum mainnet. Do I need to? Do you want me to read further?
No, please. Oh, didn't think so. That's good.
Didn't think so.
No, I'm good. Yeah, it's a rug up. That's what it is.
A rug up. Yeah, roll up is after the rug pull.
Yeah, first the rug pull, then the layer two roll up.
That's funny.
Have you ever heard of a laptop farm, by the way, as far as new terminology?
Well, I have one here in my office. I have so many of them. It's pretty much a laptop farm. By the way, for those of you who don't care, I'm going to tell you anyway. I had a fail on CloneZilla. It would not recognize the internal drive. I played with it for hours and hours. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to rebuild this laptop. And I've gotten pretty good at it. And so I got all my licenses and everything. That's all organized. And it wasn't too hard to install everything on this lap. Man, that G3L13 Lenovo, that's a nice machine, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it had a touchscreen. It has a touchscreen.
Yeah, it's hard to know. They don't really advertise the touchscreen so much anymore.
I didn't even realize. I just happened to touch the screen like, oh, crap. It works.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you're like pointing something out to somebody and you're like, oh, crap, I just did something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you touched.
It's anyway, yes.
Does it actually help you at all? Does this actually, is this
it does actually?
Functional?
Yeah, it does for scrolling sometimes. I have the touchscreen that I use for my shows at home here is a big, I don't know, it's a big one and it's touchscreen. And I do have a soundboard up that I typically control with the mouse, but in a pinch, I'll just, you know, go in,
boost,
just hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's nice. It's nice to be able to do that, but it's not something I use a lot. But anyway, laptop farm, you were going to tell us something.
Oh no. I had read this story. I think it was yesterday. And it hit me. So it's talking about laptop farm, meaning, let me see if I can explain this cause it's complicated. So the story is this guy, In the U.S.
You sure he's not in Ethiopia? Because I think that's where there's a laptop farm.
No, this guy's in Nashville, which is one step above Ethiopia.
After your recent visit, yes.
Yes. So this guy's in Nashville. He got arrested because what he was doing was he's an IT guy and he was posing like, doing remote jobs. So he was applying for jobs as a remote worker.
Mm-hmm.
He would get hired in their IT. They would send him a laptop. He would then log in with VPN credentials and all that stuff. He would log in so he may be like, you know, involved in like 10 different companies unbeknownst to all the companies. He's working supposedly remotely for like 10 different companies.
That's great.
But what he's really doing is then turning around and selling the laptop, the laptop credentials to North Koreans.
Oh no! Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so now the North Koreans have direct access into the IT infrastructure of these companies he was supposedly working for.
Wow!
And they call this a laptop farm. Evidently, it's a thing. I have never heard of this before.
A dude named Ben, named Kim. Good one, Cotton Gin.
Yes. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
You nailed it. Yes.
Oh man. Wow. Yeah. I mean the true hacking is never sophisticated technology. It's all
No, it's never.
It's
never
all is. Psychological, brother. It's all psychological.
Garm folded. That didn't last very long.
No, you know, then this is seen like, yeah, Elon, he did it. Yeah, he went after Garm. They filled it. You know, it's not like they're going to advertise with him now all of a sudden.
Oh, no, no, of course not.
You know, that was just that's another PR move. Like, I'm concerned about this guy. I've always
about Elon. You mean?
Yeah, I am.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to result in no anonymity. You know, Garm or whatever. Okay, I mean, he literally told advertisers to go F themselves.
Right.
You know, you don't so like
why
it.
Why would they care?
Yeah, and now he's going to do this big. Yeah, he's even got these guys all into Trump now. Trump is like, I don't like EVs, but I got to like him. I got to like him now because Elon, you know, he's good. We got it. Elon's good. So, you know, and then he goes right into, you need $9 billion to roll out. This is crazy. You know, it's the whole thing.
Well, I guess the thing that caught my attention about it was the true nature of the company. So the story goes that Garm really, like the actual entity that is Garm was really like two dudes.
Right. I mean, it's the backing is the American Federation of Advertisers, I think. Isn't that what it's called?
I think so. I don't know.
A World Federation of Advertisers.
Okay. I don't know if I can get you this clip.
You got a clip?
Let's see if I can find it. It reminded me of this. Oh, yeah. Okay. I think I may have found it here. Let me copy this. This is sort of a throwback from a couple of years ago.
Doing it live. People were doing it live.
So it reminded me of this clip. You think these companies...
PEPFAR was really born of the...
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and set it up.
Yeah. So this is this lady, Catherine Eban. She wrote a book about the total scamminess of the generic drug manufacturing market.
Mm-hmm.
And from this, so this is from a few years ago, and she's talking here about Scott Gottlieb.
Yes, we know Scott Gottlieb. Yes.
And Gottlieb
used to be the FDA administrator. And then he became a board member for Pfizer.
Right. And so we hear people talk about the WHO,
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear about these organizations, what you think in your mind is this is these vast organizations with, you know, with all these resources and people and that kind of thing. And the truth is not really like that, because she talks about what Scott Gottlieb said about the WHO.
PEPFAR was really born of the best of intentions and was sort of maybe one of the most sort of brilliant, innovative globalization ideas, which is that the developed nations of the world and us, the U.S., could use taxpayer dollars to buy low-cost generics from India and send it to Africa to address the AIDS crisis. So in that sense, it was really remarkably innovative.
So George W. Bush announced the intention of PEPFAR during 2002-2003, and this creates a little bit of a tension within the administration, right? Because how are you going to fund? Well, the question isn't how you're going to fund it. It's what are you going to buy?
Right. So it was the low cost of Indian generics that made PEPFAR possible. It was based on that concept that the price of the AIDS drugs had fallen down to about a dollar a day, which allowed a taxpayer-funded program to send these AIDS drugs to Africa, which was reeling from the AIDS crisis. You had basically an entire continent under a death sentence. But then the question inside the administration was, how do you guarantee the quality? And, you know, Scott Gottlieb at that point was in the Bush White House.
The great line in your book about how he referred to generics. He refused to call them generics. He referred to them as counterfeits.
Right. And there were people on the other side of the aisle who were saying the World Health Organization, they can come in and inspect these plants and certify them, and those are going to be fine. And the view of Gottlieb and other people was, what's who going to do? That's just like some guy in a back room in Yugoslavia with a couple of people helping him who are going to go into these plants and verify the quality. So the idea was created.
Yes.
Yeah, so we think of the World Health Organization, this big entity with all these resources. And Scott Gottlieb's like, no, that's just a couple of guys in Yugoslavia. Like, this is not who you think it is. And the same way with all the, like, GARM and all that, you hear about these things and you think that they're these big things, but they're really, it's just like a, it's like a couple of dudes.
I know. It's like podcasting 2.0. It's just a couple of dudes. Man, that's the latest thing. It's a couple of dudes. Yeah. I set up a Linode server.
We get these emails sometimes where it's like, I'd like you to could you put me in touch with your PR department? And it reminds me of that guy that, I think Sam Sethi interviewed him on Pod News. It's the guy from Hubhopper. The Indian podcast hosting, where he said he had made up like 7 different email addresses and he would reply from different ones to make people think that he was a big organization.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That was what got me is this, like, I think we just put too much, we've seen too much television.
Yeah. You know, man, we all think we live in the West Wing.
Garm. Oh my gosh. Garm. They must. Yeah. Oh, they're unstoppable. It's like, that's a couple dudes.
That's a good point. Yeah. Let me see. What else is happening in the world of podcasting? There's lots of stuff. Advertising, blah, 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 money, blah, blah, blah. Okay, done.
Well, I mean, I went over the, we're kind of, I don't know if we have enough time to go over this UID2.
Oh, I'm very interested because I have no idea what it is, how it works. And I've seen you post about it but see a lot of technical garb. So can you, give me a high level kind of like the roll up?
The roll up. I guess the high level would be, what is the high level?
Is it a tracking mechanism?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's classic advertiser bullcrap.
Well, I need to know about it then.
They've really learned nothing in this. So, you know, cookies is the way this has all worked forever.
Mm-hmm.
Third-party cookies. And just, for people
who aren't, for tracking purposes.
Yeah. And then the way that works for anybody who's not technically, in the know here is that whenever you go to a website, that website can put a cookie, which is just a file, on your machine, on your browser. And every time you go back to that website, it will send the cookie back with it. So it's good for login state. You log in, it sets a cookie. Now that cookie gets sent back every time. And that's how the website knows you're logged in. The third-party cookies came along and molested this concept into the idea that if I can convince you, the website owner, to put my banner or my button or my image or something on your website that's actually from my website, then what's going to happen is your browser is going to make a request to my website to get the image or the button or the banner. And when it does that, I can then put a cookie in.
Right.
So now if you go to this, on website A. Now, if you go to website B, if I can convince them to put that same button on their website, then I can tell that you have been on both of those websites.
Right.
And that's classic cookie-based tracking. And that's how all advertising works today. Every bit of advertising tracking on the internet all works based on that. That's why Google was trying to get rid of that so that they could have a sort of a face-saving moment where they come up with this privacy sandbox and all this kind of stuff to get rid of cookies and where it looks like they're doing something about it.
So they could have monopoly over the next version of it.
Yeah, exactly. Over cookie 2.0.
All right.
And so then I think we all know now, about a week ago, they said they're ditching all that. They're just going to stick with third party cookies for the foreseeable future because that's the way this stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
And the advertising industry is addicted to that. They're addicted to cookies, but they panicked when they thought that those things were going to go away. Mm. And so they've been trying to come up with alternatives. And one of those alternatives they came up with is UID2. Now UID2 is getting thrown around all over podcast stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand why. I don't know how this could possibly apply to podcasting.
So what is UID2, Dave?
UID2 is let me give you an image that shows the layout of UID2. It'll make perfect sense to you when you see the
okay, it's going in the show notes, everybody.
Yes. So this is how easy UID2 is to understand here. That's pretty simple. These are the UID2 workflows.
You're setting this up to make me think that it's not going to be very simple to understand. Oh, you put it in the chat. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Do you hear the sarcasm dripping?
Yes, dripping I do. I do.
Midas understands it, so he can now explain it to the rest of us. So UID2 is a hash of some personal data of yours. So you're supposed to be a universal identifier where they, when you say they, that means an advertiser, takes either an email address or a phone number. Those are the two examples they give, and they hash it into an encrypted form. It's like supposedly a one-way hash with a salt. Then they trade those around amongst each other, all the advertisers, and to associate when you are the same person in different locations, but supposedly without revealing to the intermediaries, which is what's called the operator of the UID master sync database.
Mm-hmm. Google.
So this is evidently being put together by the IAB now.
Uh-huh.
If you refer to the picture here,
yes,
you'll see that there's a
Dreb, put this in the chapter, man. That'll freak everybody out.
Like what
what is this?
There's this sync. Is this the picture I was wanting? There's this sync that happens between the advertisers and the operator. And yeah, in order to determine if you have opted out. So let's say that I gave my email address, or excuse me, let's say that an advertiser, because number one, if you do nothing, you are completely left out of this process.
Yeah.
So if you sign up to an for a website that uses an advertiser that's in this system, they're going to hash your email address and hand it over to the operator, to the UID2 operator. You were not somewhere along the line, there was probably some small print that said you're assenting to this, which you never saw.
No, of course not. In the EULA. Yes. Yeah.
So then you can go over to, supposedly you can go over to the operator's website, which I'm assuming is the IAB, and fill out an opt out. And that's problem number one. This is opt out, not opt in.
Right.
Problem number two, which I see is the sort of Achilles heel of this whole thing, is in order to stay, there's a sync process that happens where all these advertiser servers keep in sync with the operator server by trading these databases around, sort of like we do with our feed dump.
Mm-hmm.
And then they resalt all the hashes on a regular basis and all this stuff. But every time you request a web page and then that web page requests an ad from a DSP,
it has to go back and be unsalted. All this stuff has to happen.
No, it has to check and see if you've opted out.
Ugh.
Okay, so there has to be an opt-out check every single time.
For every element that requests this on a page.
Before it can request an ad. So it's gonna check if you've opted out before it requests the ad. Now, this is this is going to take time because you're going to have to do a database check and then do a bid on a DSP. So the database
DSP is digital services provider. What is that? DSP?
Yeah, that's those are the background advertisers.
Look at this bid stream.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
So that opt out, the only way this can work and not just bring a website to a crawl is if that opt out check is at maximum about 100 milliseconds.
Right.
If it's more than that, you're going to start slowing. It's too slow. It's not going to work. So if that opt-out request does not reply to the browser in about 100 milliseconds, I can guarantee you that it's going to, the opt-out is, the check is going to fail and it's going to give you an ad anyway.
Yeah.
And it's going to track you. Like this whole thing is a joke.
Why are they even doing this? What is this nonsense?
Like, you know, it's all based on the pro. Like, if you do host reads or coupon codes or anything like that, you don't need any of this nonsense.
No.
It's all based on programmatic ad insertion.
Yeah, that's what the bid stream is all about.
Yeah. Yeah, all of this nonsense is to prop up the $3 CPMs from dynamic ad insertion. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Ugh. The cheap, and you know what? And Russell... The from Pod 2 in Australia, Russell on the Podcast Index, he had a great point. Let me see. I think I may have. Let me pull this thing up. Yeah. He said, yes, Russell Harrower. He said, I guess if a business is spending money to promote, they really want to make sure that $250 was worth it. What we know is the higher you spend, the less likely you care about this data. A client of ours got charged $5,000 to advertise on TV. The client tracked it with a phone number and a web landing page, and they were happy.
Yeah,
that solution should work for podcast ads, but because it's online ad exec thinks we need more data. See, the lower the CPM, the smaller your advertisers' budgets are.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that want all this data. The big guys, they don't give a crap. Mm. They just have advertising budgets and they're just budgets and they're just going to spend it. But if you start talking, you get the lower you get down the totem pole of advertisers, the more greedy they get to make sure that every cent was spent. And this is all wasting everybody's time just to satisfy a bunch of people that want to buy $200 worth of ads.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's always going to be advertising. It's always going to be there. And we'll never know exactly what half of the money worked. It's just, that's the way it is. This is the way it's always been.
Well, we were watching the Olympics and, you know, like what they would have is the like Visa, they would say this hour of primetime gymnastics was brought to you with limited commercial interruption by Visa.
So, you just interrupted me to tell me that.
Yes. So Visa bought a block and they're like, okay, you know, we're going to be the sponsor for this segment. And they're never going to know who saw it. There's no way to know that. Ugh. But for some reason, the web and by, you know, proxy podcasting thinks that they need every freaking cent accounted for. It's gross. This is not going to work. The UID2 is.
Yeah. Well, power to him. It's all good. I'm in freedom mode, baby. I don't care.
Freedom.
I'm in freedom mode. I don't care anymore. It's all good. Everybody do your own thing.
Freedom mellow.
I'm just happy that people can podcast, that my partner, my friend, Dave Jones can read stories. People can talk about what they care about. There's ways to listen. Oh, yeah, that's good. It's all good. That's why we started this in the first place. Remember?
I remember.
Remember? Yeah, remember.
Yep. So. Me and John Holden.
Let's thank a few people, and then we'll be able to wrap it up with a couple of leftover bits here. I'm going to read some of these live boosts that came in.
All right.
Once told Kyle... sent Short Rove Ducks 222. Howdy from the Valley of the Dinosaurs in Glen Rose, Texas. Have a good weekend, he says.
Thank you.
We got Chad F. coming in with a nice row of eggplant emojis on my helipad. 11,111 Satoshis boosting for the Hey Citizen experience. Very nice. Salty Crayon, 1188. Hot afternoon, boardroom. Shout out to Mitch for the next gen podverse. Let's hope he can keep it in the Google slave store. Definitely a daily driver for sending value across the value verse. In the pipe, go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Another in the pipe, 222 from Salty Crayon. As far as AI, there are some of that already cropping up as, quote, music on LM Beats. You can clearly hear it in the vocals. It has a distinct sound. Yeah, we're going to be able to recognize that. No neural network like the human neural network. Martin Lindeskog is listening in from somewhere, I think, Scandinavia. 1776, Freedom Boost. Dave, I want to tell author Warren Fahey, Magenta, about this opportunity. Do you drink Sam Adams beer? Cheers, Martin.
Yes, sure.
Yes. Another 1776 from Martin. Freedom of expression, thanks to podcasting 2.0. Liberty Boost of 1,776 Satoshis. Best premises, Martin. Dreb Scott, he actually recommended the Kamala Freedom jingle.
Freedom!
456. There's Martin again with cool house music. Rave on. We played the rave radio. 1111. We have Booberry with a promo. 33333. September 22nd, the Satellite Skirmish, Autumn Rust, new bands, new MCs, Day Glow Boost Alerts. We got four bands on board, still looking for two more that would be interested in signing up. Stephen B., Eric PP, and Make Heroism are going to level up this production on the tech side. I'm hoping that's a Sunday, because usually they do that right after No Agenda, and they get good juice on that. Let me see.
Sunday.
Let me see. September 22nd. Let me see. Yes, Sunday. Good.
Nice.
Good. I'll promo it during No Agenda. Then get a lot of people hanging around. And let's see. Salt of Crayon, Lima Charlie, 777. Not sure what it is. These are pre-show boost tests from Dreb Scott. There's another Martin Lindeskog with a row of ducks, 2222. Adam and Dave, you have ducks in the row. I'm running with scissors now with my Albi Hub. I recently connected Wavelake app. The last and fifth step thing is creating a backup of the keys. I think I need help with that, he says. Shout out to Tomek K. That's Tomek KK on Get Albi. All the best from Martin. And that, I believe, is it. Yes, I hit the delimiter.
I've got... I'm looking right here at a PayPal from Oscar Mary for $200.
Whoa! Hello!
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
Thank you very much, Oscar.
I'm going to see if I can ring my beef milkshake cup from over here.
Ring it?
Negative. Okay. Mitch, in the middle of developing next-gen, Podverse next-gen, $50.
Very nice, Mitch. Baller, I'll hit him with a baller.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you, thank you.
Round two, also a miss. We got some boostergrams. Starting off with Kyron from Mere Mortals, 2222. He says, this is through Fountain, by the way. He says, boosting for Dave's bed. The couch was actually very comfy, and I felt safe with Banjo and Boss Monster guarding me. Boss Monster is my cat.
Banjo, what, 110 pounds of Banjo?
So let me tell you what happened. So when Kyron, I'd been gone for a few days, and Banjo, he always gets super excited when somebody comes back from a trip. So he was already fired up, and he's a very, you know, he's a very loving dog.
Yes.
He's not exactly what I would call gentle.
No, because he's big.
He's big. He's huge. But he's not aggressive. Like he loves people, and he wants to just like rub all up on you and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he's excited and he runs to the door, and right behind me is Kyron. And I told Kyron, I was like, look, we have a huge dog and he's very sweet, but he's very energetic. So I don't want you to be afraid, but mm-hmm. he's big. Mm-hmm. And so I step out of the way and Banjo sees Kyron and just howls like,
Oh, man. Oh, that must have freaked him out.
Kyron was like, oh, crap. What have I gotten myself into? And I was like, look, I promise he's nice. He's like, oh, yeah, the old I promise he's nice trick. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. I said the one-handed man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. But no, it was great. Yeah, it was great.
Cool.
Thank you, Kyron. Appreciate that. Let's see who we got. Oh, Beavenauer. 2222 to Podverse for the Tiny Tim Fund. Am I sick?
Yeah, you haven't been sick in a while, knock on wood. It's about your time again.
Vitamin D, baby.
That's right. Vitamin and beef D. Milkshakes.
Andrew Grummet. Hey, Andrew.
2222.
Yep, 2222. Uh-huh. I heard it on Podcasting 2.0. Mm. 111 was the cut.
Yeah, it was boosting for the song.
I see this. Oh. 2222 from another 2222 from Andrew Grummet. It says bed boost from wherever. Okay.
For Kyron, I guess.
I guess so. Brian of London. Sir Brian of London. 11948. Big nice. Israeli boost. He says, I hope you were properly fisting your. Brian, seriously.
Well, hold on a second.
He said.
Yes.
He says, I hope you are properly fisting your nuts at the truck stop in last week's drive home story in the approved Dvorak method. See, nobody's going to understand that reference.
Unless I play the 40-second fisting nuts mix, which I am happy to do.
Just go for it, John. Tell us your peeve about the fisting method of eating snacks on an airplane. Okay.
I see this on the airplane, and it's very annoying, and I think it will result in fights breaking out, because it's just so annoying to watch. Guy takes his bag of peanuts, and he throws a pile of them into his palm of his hand, and then he makes a fist around the nuts.
Around the nuts.
And then he shakes his fist to try to bring a nut to the little hole.
Stop. To the little hole.
And then he throws a nut in his mouth from his fist.
From his fist.
Then he does it again. He shakes and throws and shakes and throws. It is annoying as hell to watch.
Hey, John Holden production, by the way.
John Holden. What was the name of what was the name of the detective you played on the porn movie?
Oh, God, what was his name? I forget his name. I don't remember.
I forgot.
I saved someone. Who sent me that? Someone sent me like a beautiful copy. I saved it somewhere. So I can watch it at my leisure.
You can watch it later. Yes. Now everybody understands that reference. Thank you, Brian. Let's see. Oh, Dame Slammy.
Hey.
I don't know who Dame Slammy
is. I think it's Dame Slammy.
Slammy. Mm-hmm. Okay, Slammy. Dame Slammy. 33,138 sats.
Nice. I'm going to give her a little waller for that.
Hey, coming through Castomatic says, hey, Dave and Adam. Boosting as a gift to my awesome dude, Sir Dude Chink.
Oh.
Sir Dude Chink. Oh, nice. He loves this podcast, and his birthday is August 14th. Go podcasting.
You got it.
Go podcasting!
Thank you for cutting us in on the birthday boost.
Yes, very nice.
Oh, let's see. Is this right? Have we already hit the delimiter?
It's possible. You know, when the Bitcoin price went crazy, up or down, people are like, oh, I don't want to spend my Bitcoin.
Yeah, you know, Bitcoin crashes
all the time.
Because the reason is because it's traded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like, if the market starts tanking on a Friday night and people need to get liquid.
Yes, Bitcoin is the only thing. The best. Exactly. I know. It's so weird. People don't understand that.
I was supposed to be a store of value, man.
Yeah, look at the 200-day moving average, and you'll see that it is. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Anywhere in the world, I need cash, I can always sell some Bitcoin. It's beautiful that way.
Yeah, and it's right back. I mean, it's just right back up there now.
Yeah, so it was 60, 60 and a half, 61 today, kind of in that range.
Yeah. It's a steep V.
It is. Checkmark recovery.
Comic strip blogger, 25,000 sats through Fountain. Says, howdy, Dave and Adam. I'd like to ask the Podcasting 2.0 community to send boostergrams to the podcast Mo Facts with Adam Curry.
Oh.
You can find it at URL www.mofacts.com. It's a podcast where Adam and his black friend, Mo, explain.
You got to do it like Trump. Black friend.
It's a podcast where Adam and his black friend, Mo, explore black culture and politics in USA. I also had a podcast with Black American once. I even shared DNA with him via 23andMe. Me, purebred Polack, and he, 10% Irish, but rest African, 29.5% Nigerian, 28.5% Ghanaian, 14.6% Congolese, etc. It was Tech Podcast, though. Yo, CSB.
Yo, CSB. That's right.
I love the, but it was a Tech Podcast.
Yeah. One more episode of MoFax with Adam Curry. We're going to do 100 episodes, then we shut it down.
I thought you've been saying one more episode for the past 5 episodes.
No. We're at 99.
There's always a 100.
We're 99, then we hit 100. And then we may do something else, but we're going to shut that one down. We're not going to shut it down, of course, but we're going to. Who knows? I don't know what we're going
to
do.
I hope you come back for emergency special coverage from time to time.
Well, you know, it's
sometimes
really.
Sometimes you need to know stuff.
Yeah, it's really up to Mo. You know, it's really up to him. What he wants to do. I'm just facilitating. But at the same time, you know, it's been a very enriching experience for me just to learn and to share and the same. And he would say the same, you know, this, we are very, very, we're basically Obama and Bruce Springsteen, but for real and not that phony baloney stuff.
Phony baloney. Who would you want to have a beer with? Not that exactly.
And, on the 23andMe, which of course I've never done because I'm not crazy. You know, we once did 3 DNA tests on Phoebe, our dog. They came back wildly different. One of them was like, she's 50% super mutt. Okay, sure. Whatever that means. Super mutt.
And the next one, she comes back, she's like a wiener dog.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so lame.
Yeah.
But there's no dog in her named Doodle. Thank God.
She's a nothing doodle.
There you go.
Monthlies got Joseph Maraca, $5. Emilio Cano Molina, $4. Basil Phillip, $25. Thank you, Basil. Lauren Ball, $24.22. Mitch Downey, $10. And Christopher Harabarek, $15.
Lovely. Thank you all so very much for supporting Podcast Index. In fact, let me check and see if we've had a PR request to change our bogus donation. Yes, someone did it. Beautiful.
Yeah, I merged it like 2 days ago. Oh,
thank you. Yeah, so if you go to podcastindex.org, I'm sure Steven did it. Down at the bottom, you see a red donate button. You can donate to us through PayPal. We always love your fiat fun coupons, but we really appreciate it when you boost us through one of the modern podcast apps. And here's a little thing I've been talking about more recently, certainly on Currying the Keeper. When you boost a lot with the modern podcast app, podcastapps.com, that puts us in the Fountain Top 10. And that makes more people aware of the show. It's pretty cool that way. We should have more of these lists.
I wish more people had that.
Yeah, or if there were more lists in general, it'd be great to have, you know, a list of boosts and top boosters and.
Yeah, I wish more people than just Fountain had it, because that would just everybody loves lists and charts.
People do. Yeah. Well, I just like it for, you know, we get a tweet. It's like, hey, there's a tweet. Oh, look, we're in there. We're in there. It's so beautiful. Man, I was so bummed out. I boosted 20,000 sats to Chris this week in Bitcoin. And then it's really a letdown when you hear him do the show and it's like, well, can't read any boosts because, you know, my node was down, or I guess he was merging to an Albi hub. I'm like, man.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. Bummer. I got to reboost.
Sometimes I'll boost and then the next week it's like, oh, we're traveling, so this is a pre-record.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dang it.
Yeah. That's when V for V really falls apart. When you don't hear your boost on the air. Oh, man, I want my boost. I want to hear my boost. Thank you to D's Laughs for 1,000 sats. He says hello from the great white north. And once told Kyle comes in again with 2222. Yep, podcasting 2.0. You're going to like my nuts. That's right. There you go. Oh, and Dreb Scott, 4568. Currently fisting my nuts in the approved Dvorak method.
Nah, good for you.
Good man.
I'm looking at the fountain chart. Where Podcasting 2.0.
We're not on the chart.
Number 16.
Yeah, we're not. We're lagging, man.
We're in the top 20. We're number 16.
Yeah,
we suck.
Yeah, we don't suck. We just don't have a lot of people boosting us.
Fountain thinks we suck.
No, 16 is not suck. But listen, let me see how many people we have right now in our listening live. Yeah, we had about 100. We had about 100. Now we're 89.
We're below something called the bugle.
The what? The bugle?
The bugle. Yeah.
Oh, well, there are so many podcasts. That's what's so great about podcasts. There's a podcast for everyone.
Darren's show is above it. Larry and Darren's show is above us.
Well, those guys, they do. I think they do. Do they only do one show a week?
Ooh, I don't know.
Well, they're definitely more general knowledge type stuff. You know, I think if they talked about SQL databases for 25 minutes, you know, they might see their boost go down.
Oh, so you're blaming. This is. Oh, I see. You're blaming me for this. No, okay.
We have a very specialized podcast.
We do. Yes, but I'm heartened by the fact that Bitcoin Audible is three slots below us, so we're still beating them, even though we shadow banned them.
We have to take a look and see what's going on. I mean, they literally have so many entries. And James really dug deep and he figured out that something about redirects and, you know, all these other things on their webpage, I kind of like, I didn't quite understand it.
I'm seeing it. It's just a mess. I'm going to have to go through and clean all that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that when I clean up all of this
it's
stuff,
gonna
I'm sure
pop that right
Guy
back
Swan
in.
Is going to, no, I'm sure Guy Swan is going to send us a big boost.
Yeah.
As a thank you.
Isn't he the guy with the white strand of hair? Is he the guy?
No, that's somebody else. That's the other guy.
That's the other guy. Who is? Let me see. Guy Swan. Oh no, Guy Swan. I know who Guy Swan is. Yeah,
that's you're talking about the Bitcoin, the dude that shows you how to do stuff.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. sorry.
9,631 sats from Chimp. I'm not a nut fister. I much prefer to toss them. Okay. And BR with 1,000 sats. Thank you. Thank you, BR.
Look, I get it. I bring a bunch of SQL foreign key relationship talk, and you brought fisting nuts, and I see you win. You win, okay?
Hey, man, I'm a man of the people.
The people, yes.
What do you say? Should we call it? Have we done it for this week? I think we've covered... Have to say, I enjoy when we dive deep into stuff. I think there's a lot of people who are our audience needs to hear these things. Clearly,
I don't know about a lot. there are people that need to. There is three or four people out there that want to listen.
Media says he's in the boardroom. Hey, Dave and Adam C. 1999. Are either of you all going to Podcast Movement? Hard no.
No,
I am not doing conferences. No.
If it was anywhere else than Washington, D.C., I would consider it.
Really? I was just so turned off by the whole conference vibe last time we went. It's like, no, it's just not.
I mean,
for
I just
me.
Go to talk. I just go to talk to people.
Yeah.
I don't go to any of the crap. I mean, like Bitcoin Nashville conference was fun. Just
yeah. Well, no one went to the conference. Y'all just hung out at the outside the event. Yeah, I mean that makes sense.
It's different at Podcast Movement because people stay in the conference all the time, so you're kind of like cloistered. It's a cloister.
it's a big cloister.
I would consider going if it was like. If it was, I just don't want to go to Washington, D.C. Blech.
When's the last time you went to Washington, D.C.?
I've never been to Washington, D.C.
Oh, well, there's definitely a reason to go to Washington, D.C. at the right time of the year when the cherry blossoms are in bloom and it's not so hot that the urine, you know, wafts up from everywhere.
The urine.
it's really gone downhill a lot, but... Just to walk around and see all of our national monuments and the buildings, it's pretty impressive. It's definitely something. As an American, you should do it at least once. Maybe we'll organize a Curry and Jones trip. Curry Jones family trip.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah, yeah. I would definitely want to go. Yeah,
I'm flying.
I'm not going to go for podcast movement for sure. That's not a draw. Okay.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much, Dave. I guess, we're on next week as regular, right? Do we have a guest coming up soon?
As far as I know.
Do you have any guests?
No. Got nobody.
Okay.
I got nobody.
We don't need nobody, baby. We got the boardroom. And we will see you back here next week for Podcasting 2.0. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Damn, this could be bigger than Obama.